flesh now. Lay aside the garments
that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
All hail the power of Jesus. Make the angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He chosen seed of Israel's grace, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial globe, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
On the last now,
good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you could all find your seats, we will go ahead and get started. Thank you all for coming. For this evening's service, we're going to start off in song number 17. Song number 17, One Day. should know this song pretty well by now. Song number 17, One Day. Sing it out together. On the first.
One day.
Number 17, on the second.
One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they held him to die on the tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he.
Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all of the souls that were won out soul winning today. We ask, Lord, that you help guide them to a good church, if not ours. We ask also, Lord, that you fill Pastor Shelley with the Holy Spirit and help him to preach an edifying sermon unto us so we can walk out better Christians than we came in. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, next up, we have song number 99. Song number 99. Sang it this morning. Song 99, Come Ye Disconsolate. Sing it out on the first.
Come ye disconsolate, where'er ye languish, come to the mercy seat, fervent kneel.
Thank you for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you did not already get a bulletin and you would like one, just lift up your hand nice and high. One of our ushers can come by and get you guys a bulletin. And on the inside, we have our service and soul winning times, as well as our church stats. We have a list of our expecting ladies and then our upcoming events. I think we had a handout in there, and I don't think I read it this morning. I must have missed it, but congratulations to the Urbanics on the birth of their son, Wyatt Nicholas. He was born on the 6th, 8:13 p.m., weighing 8.9 ounces and 22 inches long. Congratulations to them. Also, other expecting ladies, please be in prayer for them. Upcoming events, we have several listed there. I'm not going to just read them for you, but several things to sign up for and look forward to. On the back is our prayer list. And then we have some QR codes if you'd like to register for our events. That's really pretty much all I have as far as announcements. We're just going to go ahead and sing our Psalm of the Week, Psalm 149. Psalm 149.
All right, that's Psalm 149. Find it in your handouts. I don't know if you all have noticed, but we've been slowing down at the ends of the songs. Good job keeping up, by the way. All right, Psalm 149. On the first.
Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord, the new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints, and is for your rejoicing in and made it, let the Lord,
singing, everybody. The offering plates are being passed around. Would you please open your Bibles and prepare yourself for the reading of God's Word?
Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter 10, the Bible says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the souls that were saved today. I thank you for the preaching of your word. I thank you for the sermon this morning. I ask you to please fill Pastor Shelley again with your Holy Spirit. Please give him boldness and help us to be attentive to your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to look back at verse 22. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And what I wanted to preach this evening on is the idea of more, just having more. And the Bible definitely talks about this particular subject. Now, we're going to be spending a lot of time here in Proverbs 10, 11, 12, kind of this section. But the Bible clearly indicates that God can bless you and give you more and make you rich and add no sorrow with it, which I think is the best of both worlds. I think a lot of us would like to have more, but not necessarily more problems. You'd like to have more things, but you don't necessarily want all the drama and the problems that maybe come with that more. And the Bible is basically instructing that, yes, you can have more and not have more problems. And I think we need to understand that having more money doesn't necessarily make your life better because it could cause you to have more problems. But the blessing of the Lord, it can make you rich and not even add any of the sorrow with it, any of the problems with it. So we want to have a balanced approach here. Keep your finger, because we're going to come back to Proverbs 10, but I want to go to Matthew chapter number 6 first. Go to Matthew chapter number 6 first. The Bible tells us that when it comes to this particular subject, that if you want to have more in life, you need to do something. You need to put God first as the priority in your life. And so there's basically three simple points that I have that I think is being drawn out in the text. But those that are going to have more in life, they have to, number one, make righteousness their goal. They have to make righteousness their goal. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6, and we'll probably read a few verses, but I want to first look at this one. Look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and notice this, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, that's a pretty famous verse, pretty popular verse. What is the context in this particular verse? Well, it's the idea of, like, you can't really serve God and mammon. In verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Of course, mammon is symbolically representing money or the things that money can purchase. It brings up things that can be bought in this particular passage, raiment, clothes, food, where you're going to live. You know, it says in verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, where shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So how do you get these things? Well, biblically, the Bible teaches is that you are righteous. You become righteous, or you're seeking righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? It's not a meaningless platitude. It's doing right. It's following God's commandments. So if I'm making God the priority, if I'm making the kingdom of God priority and I'm making righteousness priority, what does that look like? It looks like somebody that's going to church regularly. You know, not just occasionally, they're just plugged in at church. You know, for our church is 3 times a week, right? You're coming Sunday morning, you're coming Sunday night, you're going Wednesday night. That is someone that's seeking righteousness. It's someone that's reading their Bible actively. It's someone that's going out and winning souls to Christ. That's seeking the kingdom of God, going out there and trying to add people unto the kingdom of God. So, you know, if you want to have more in life, I believe God is saying, well, you got to put church first, you got to put reading the Bible, and you got to put soul winning first. And that's got to be the priority in your life. It's got to be number one. When you make it number one, God can give you more and no sorrow with it. But those that are not seeking righteousness, the Bible is going to hammer that they're going to have all kinds of problems. Go back to Proverbs chapter number 10. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. And we're going to be skipping around because I'm trying to look at these verses from a thematic perspective. We're thinking about the concept of the Bible teaching that we should be righteous, okay? Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. You know, having lots of money isn't going to help you if you're wicked. Because if you're wicked, you'll end up diminishing all of those funds, and you won't have that money, and you'll waste it all, and essentially it'll just be in vain that you even had the money in the first place. Being righteous is more important than having money. And so it's important to be righteous and to not be wicked. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that have received all kinds of funds and all kinds of money. So many athletes and celebrities and professionals, they'll get millions of dollars, even more than that in many cases, and then they'll become flat broke. They'll waste all of their money, waste all their substance. Why? Because the Bible is basically saying here that this particular person that's wicked, he casts away the substance of the wicked. They're going to basically give it all back How many men have lost all of their money simply because they married the wrong woman and she just divorced them and just took tons of their wealth? Then they get married again, just take more of their wealth. Then they get addicted to drugs and alcohol, lose even more of their wealth. They get addicted to gambling. You know, people like even Michael Jordan had financial problems, and you can't even imagine how much money that guy's made, yet ran into financial problems because he got really into gambling. There's another guy, there's a golfer, Phil Mickelson, got really into gambling, lost tons, millions and millions of dollars. Many professional gamblers, you know, these professional poker players. I remember reading about a guy, he's a professional poker player, super good, made millions and millions of dollars. I mean, we're talking about like $10, $20 million playing poker. But he was in debt because he would lose it all at the blackjack table. And it's like, bro, stop playing blackjack. You know, just stick with the poker. But here's the problem. When you're wicked and you're desiring to be rich, often you're just going to waste all your money on frivolous things, stupid things, silly things. I mean, the smart thing to do would be just only play poker if you're just good and you're just making tons of money. Now, again, I'm not advertising playing poker. I'm just saying, you know, if you were just smart, at least. If you were smart, you wouldn't sit here and then take that money and then just throw it all away on gambling and throw it all away on blackjack or something like that. But that's what these people are like. People that make all kinds of money playing football, playing basketball, they'll end up wasting all their money on drugs and alcohol and hookers and who knows what. You know, again, it's kind of like that prodigal son who wasted all his father's living on riotous living and on harlots. That's what the Bible says about him. And again, a lot of the wicked people will do this. You know, if you don't realize this by now, sin is expensive. For some reason, sin is just extremely expensive. You know, getting a bottle of water, it's like almost free. I mean, bottles of water is the cheapest thing you can possibly, and it's the best thing you can possibly drink. Like you're just saying, like, what's the best thing I can drink? It's water. It's like liquor and alcohol. These things cost dozens, if not hundreds of dollars in many cases. And it's horrific for you. It's poisonous. It's toxic. It's not good. It can give you throat cancer and every other cancer you could ever imagine. It's extremely bad for you. You know, if you get cigarettes have a luxury tax or an expensive tax just added onto it. You know, liquor has extra taxes put upon it. Lottery tickets have extra taxes put upon it. You win the lottery and they tax you to death on your winnings for the lottery specifically. You know, just any kind of sin out there, it's expensive. Getting divorced, super expensive. Everyone loses except for the divorce attorney. Everyone's a loser in divorce. You know, sin will destroy you. It'll destroy your finances. It causes you all kinds of problems. You know, coming to church, being married, having kids, it has some expense to it. But I'm telling you, sin is way more expensive. Being wicked is way more expensive. Getting divorced, way more expensive. Having your children taken from you and child support and alimony. You know, how expensive is life right now, right? Just even bills, right? House, you know, utilities. But think about it. When you get divorced, now you have to pay it twice. Now you have to pay for two places to be and two water bills and two electric bills and two all kinds of different things. You don't get the joint cell phone account. Now you have to have two separate cell phone accounts. You just like, it just gets really expensive because sin is expensive and being wicked is expensive. And you'll lose all of your money and all of your income. These celebrities and professional athletes do the dumbest thing. They'll go to bars and they'll buy an entire bottle of liquor, which is just probably being overcharged for it. And then instead of even drinking it, they'll literally just pour it out. You know, it's like the drink offerings in the Bible, right? You have the strong drink that you just pour out. Except for they're not doing it to the Lord. They're doing it to try and prove how rich they are. But what's so silly is they're going to become poor like that. I mean, you're not going to get rich by just throwing money away, by just wasting money. And again, this is just God causing them to be so stupid and foolish, they're going to just cast away all of their substance. And you see a lot of people, easy come, easy go with money. Why? Because they're wicked. They're a wicked person. They don't have good standards. They don't have good morals. They don't understand what the Bible says, and they're going to destroy themselves. Look at verse 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So again, you're blessed for being just or righteous. Look at verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So again, righteous people have the ability to help others. It says in verse 24, The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Look, the Bible is just constantly contrasting, saying, like, you want more? Hey, be righteous, and you're going to get what you want. You're going to get what you desire. Did you notice what it said? Verse 24. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. That sounds nice. I want my desires to be granted. How do you get them? Being righteous. Being righteous is how you get your desires granted. Verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Saying those that are wicked, all the things they dream up and want, not going to happen. The righteous, they're going to get it. You know, what would be some examples of this? Well, you know, people that say like, hey, I want a nice wife and I want to have nice kids and I want to have a good family. It's like the wicked, they're going to totally trash that and ruin that and never going to happen. Whereas the righteous, in many cases, that will be granted unto them. They will get the things that they wanted in life. Look at verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. So again, being righteous is going to give you more. Being wicked is going to cause you to lose even that which you seemeth to have. You know, and so being righteous is going to be a blessing unto you, and God can make you rich without adding sorrow to it. Getting riches by wickedness, they are going to add so much sorrow to your life, so much pain, so much anguish. People that are thieves, people that rob and steal, and that's how they acquire wealth, or through wicked means, they're going to just cause themselves so many more problems than they are solutions. Look at chapter 11, verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. He's saying, look, being wicked, you're just going to die and not even accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. You know, we should be righteous, and that's how we're going to get things granted unto us. That's how we're going to have more. That's how all these things are going to be added unto us, not by wickedness. Verse 28, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. So again, if you're pursuing money, it's not going to work out for you. What you should do is just pursue righteousness. If you pursue righteousness, God will bless you with more. But if you seek the more, if you're seeking the riches, if you're seeking the money, if you're trusting in that, he'll just take that away from you and you won't even get to enjoy it. It'll be taken away by alimony or divorce or drugs or alcohol or taxes or fraud or government intervention or whatever. There's so many wicked people that are just constantly losing all of their money, all of their wealth, all of the things they had. And eventually you die and you lose it all anyways, even if you didn't. So it's just like, there's no point in chasing after that. And chasing after money, you should just chase after being more righteous. And you say like, I want more. Okay, be more righteous. Because look, when you chase the money, even if you get it, you're just going to add so much problems unto yourself that you won't even want the money anymore. It won't even benefit you. It'll be like Achan going off and getting this Babylonian garment and these, you know, just a little bit of extra stuff. But you know what? It ended up destroying him. Whereas here, if he just sought righteousness, he would have inherited the promised land and had so many more garments and riches that he would have known what to do with. Look, if you serve God, he can give you the things you want to need. But if you seek it yourself through wicked means, the wrong way, he'll take that away from you and destroy you. Okay, we don't want to seek money. We want to seek righteousness. And look, when you seek righteousness, God will bless you with more. It's kind of silly, but it's like a cat or something. You know, if you want its attention, you have to ignore it. Okay, I used to have a cat. All right, his name was Mo, and I gave him a Russian voice because he was very obstinate. Okay, he did not like anyone or anything. But the thing about Mo is, it's like sometimes, you know, the benefit of having a pet is sometimes you just want something to love and it like, you know, you get a chance to, right? You can go pet him. But with a cat, it's not how it works. It's like sometimes you're like, you kind of like, I want to hold you or give you attention or whatever, but it's not interested, okay? And it's like you go over there and you're trying to like grab it and hug it and just scratch it. You're just like, dang it, okay? But then there's lots of times too where you're just like, you're not interested and it just comes, jumps in your lap or paws at you or whatever. And it's kind of like a female too, okay? Cats and females have this crossover. It's like sometimes you want to give it attention, it's not ready for it, And then when you don't want to, it's just coming and demanding attention. So, and you just have to give it attention. But in the same way that sometimes things are opposite of what you would perceive, it's kind of what God is saying here in the sense that seeking money and seeking, you know, riches is going to fail. You seek God and you seek righteousness, and you'll somehow actually get the blessings that you wanted anyways, okay? And so it's very important to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Look at chapter 12, verse 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. So again, it's more important to be good. Verse 12, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. So it's like evil people, wicked people are constantly envious and desiring to be rich and desiring to be Elon Musk and desiring to be Jeff Bezos and desiring to have all this wealth and riches and money. But the reality is, and the problem is, that they're not going to end up accomplishing it and they're going to end up just destroying themselves. But people that are just godly, they're the ones that are actually yield fruit. Because here's the thing, you will not be Jeff Bezos. Sorry, you are not Elon Musk. You will not. Look, is there a few exceptions to the rule? Yes, there's exceptions to the rule. There are really just evil, wicked people in this world that are rich. You are not that person, and you will never be that person. And 99.99% of people striving to be those people will fail and destroy themselves and never make it. But you could serve God, and if you serve God, you'll end up having more than if you tried to be Elon Musk, than if you tried to be Jeff Bezos. You try to be Jeff Bezos, you will fail and have less. You try to be godly, and you'll have more than trying to be like them. You say, yeah, but they exist. Yeah, they exist only to try and entice you to do wicked. They only exist to just basically so that you decide, are you going to actually trust the Bible or not? Because you're always looking at the exception. I mean, why do people play the lottery? Why? Why does someone buy a lottery ticket? It's because they saw a billboard with some guy that won the lottery saying, look, I won $400 million or whatever. And then people are like, oh, I want to be that guy. But the reality is, you're not going to ever be that guy. But just the illusion of being that guy is what causing so many people to just buy lottery tickets and just throw money away. And they show the guy on the billboard at the casino, I won $15,000 this weekend at Windstar. Okay, he probably is an actor and it didn't even happen, number one. But even if it really did happen, you won't be that guy. You will be the one that throws all of your money down the toilet chasing that. But you know what you could do? You could just be righteous and godly and do the right thing, and God just ends up blessing you with some extra money along the way, and you actually get that $15,000 by serving God and being righteous instead of chasing casinos and chasing money and chasing the lottery. Whereas you chase the lottery and you be that guy, you'll lose it all. You serve God, he'll give you more, and he'll make it rich, and he won't even add the sorrow with it. Because not only are these guys pursuing that stuff and not getting it, they're going to get so many woes and problems and disasters in their life. You have to understand that you're not the exception. You're not exceptional. You're not going to be Elon Musk. You're not going to be Jeff Bezos. It's rigged. It's a rigged system. You're not in on it. Look, why is Elon so rich? The government. Yeah, the government is giving him these contracts to just basically just invent crap, okay? And look, he's not even inventing it. It's other extremely smart people that work for these companies that are inventing it. He just gets to take all the credit. You really think that Elon Musk is just sitting behind a desk just designing every single aspect of these rockets that they're shipping out into space? Give me a break. He's not sitting here doing all this hard work. There's just really smart people in the world doing really smart things. And someone gets to come around and just take all the credit for it and work with these government contracts. But look, you really want to be Elon Musk where you have 10, 12 kids with all these random chicks? Some of them are the most satanic people I've ever seen in my life. This Lee Grimes or whatever. Boy, she's grimy, I'll tell you what. She's of Satan for sure. He's got like a transgender kid. He's just like, just lives at work. He says literally, he often just sleeps at the office. Like he doesn't even go home. Who in here wants to just work 24/7 at the office for SpaceX or for whatever? I mean, look, you think you want these people's life, but you aren't willing to do it anyways. Are you willing to go work at the office all day long, every day, have no family? I wonder why his marriages don't work out, since he lives at the office. Some of you ladies complain about how much your husband works. How about 24/7, right? I mean, you don't even understand what these people are like. Okay, they rip people off. I mean, how did Mark Zuckerberg get so rich? Facebook. Two smart people came up with the idea. He stole the idea. Then he got into business dealings with another guy, diluted all his shares and ripped him off for all the money. And because he's a Jew, he got a whole bunch of rich Jews to come in and fund his project. And again, any social media platform, they lose hundreds of millions of dollars for decades before they actually turn a profit. Because you have to build this giant infrastructure and have just unlimited storage, just get everybody to come into your network before they can actually turn the advertising dollars on and actually recoup their cost. But here's the thing, who's gonna invest hundreds of million dollars into you? You go to Steadfast Baptist Church, the Jews aren't giving you $100 million to build your little software company, okay? You know they'll give that money to a Jew that's already proved he has no morals and will rip anybody off. That's who they basically made business dealings with. So I'm just trying to say, you're not that person. Quit trying to think you're going to be that person. You pursuing money isn't going to do anything for you. You know what you should do? Pursue being righteous and being godly, something that you can't do, something that Elon Musk won't do, something that Mark Zuckerberg's never going to do. You can be better than these people and different than these people because you actually have morals and you wouldn't rip off your business partners. You won't steal other people's ideas. You won't go down these dark roads. You won't have 10 kids with 10 different women. You'll have 10 kids with the same woman. You know what I mean? And again, I'm not saying that God doesn't realize you need money. We all need more. We all need money. I get it. But you know what? You're supposed to seek righteousness, and then he'll give it to you. Amen. Just seek righteousness, and that's where you're going to get the blessing. If you seek wickedness, he'll strip it all away from you. Now, go over to Proverbs 10, go back. Let's think of a second thing the Bible's really hammering. You want more? Number one, be righteous. Number two, be diligent. The Bible hammers this. The reason why so many people don't have more is because they're just lazy. They're just lazy. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I don't feel like I'm running into people that are just super, super hardworking and diligent, and they just can't seem to make it. Now, again, it can happen. And I would say that for some people, they're not there yet just because they're early in the game. You know, at the very beginning of the game, it's hard to do anything, okay? But you know what? You're super hardworking and you're super diligent. You do it for decades. God will bless you greatly and you can have more. The reason why many people don't is because they're just lazy. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Sorry, I don't really believe you. The Bible says that if you are diligently working, he's going to make it rich. That's what the Bible says. It also says explicitly in that verse that we already read in verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. I didn't come up with these verses. God did. You know, God is saying, you want more? Work hard. Verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Yeah, maybe it's because you're just sleeping too much. Now, again, I don't take this. I've heard a stupid sermon about this one time. It's from Tyler Baker. But he was basically saying, like, you know, you should only sleep like 5 hours a night or something like that. That is not what I think the Bible's teaching at all, okay? And I think that getting a good rest is very important, okay? I think getting 8 hours is highly recommended by me personally. I think you should try to do that. You can get away with 7. You get away with 6 hours. You can even, sometimes you have 5. There's been nights where I've literally not slept at all, okay? Because you just have to get stuff done. You just have to get it done, okay? But I don't think that's what it's saying. But think about this. This guy is just not gathering in summer. He's sleeping in harvest. It's one thing to sleep in for an extra hour and then just work 10-hour day shift. That's fine. The picture is this guy's sleeping on the job. The picture is the guy's taking a siesta in the middle of the day. The picture here is this guy's not going into work. He's calling in. because he doesn't feel good or whatever. This is not the guy that just, quote, getting 8 hours a night or something. No problem. You want to get good rest? I don't even care when you wake up. You wake up 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., I don't care. But you know what? It's saying this guy's working really hard when he's awake, okay? That's really what's being emphasized here. And someone that's not going to work hard and put in the effort and the energy, hey, that's why they don't have much. You want more? What are you doing with what you got? Verse 16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. Some people, they're just spending all their time figuring out ways to sin. Some people are just working really hard, and they're creating life. Chapter 11, verse 27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. You know, I do think about something that someone said one time in kind of relation to this verse, and it was about sports, so it's not the exact parallel, but it was Tiger Woods was specifically asked about golf at one point, because at the top of his career, he was just winning all the time. And if you watched him in tournaments, I mean, he's chipping in all the time. He's making these long putts and just like all these what would seem like miracle shots or these crazy good shots. And what most people would say is like, oh, he's lucky. Okay. This person is, quote, lucky. But he just basically, when asked about it in some kind of interview, and forgive me, I'm not going to give the exact quote or something like that. But he said, the better you are, the luckier you get. He said, the better you are, and again, it's true. It's true. Like, the guy, obviously, if you're hitting the ball right next to the pin, often, there's more times it's going to just go in. If you're just really good at putt, if you're making a really good stroke at it and you're hitting the ball really good towards all, it's just more putts are going to go in. And what the Bible is just saying, like, hey, this guy that is seeking good, this guy's diligently seeking good, procureth favor. The more you're just constantly doing the right thing at the right time, at the right place, the right people, just the more favor you're going to end up procuring to yourself. When you're just doing nothing, nothing's going to happen. When you're just constantly just seeking good and doing good and helping people and doing right, just time and chance happen to them all. It's kind of like people will say, like, oh, man, how did you get this job? A lot of people say it's luck. Like, oh, well, I just happened to meet this guy and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's how it works. If you're just constantly out there diligently making connections and talking to people and doing a good job, you just never know when someone's going to be like, hey, I know somebody that I want you to meet, or I know you want to talk to. You start making connections and you're getting more favor. I mean, that's just how it works. I remember I tried to help a client build a program one time, and I was doing a really good job, and they were really pleased, and they were like, hey, we were just talking to somebody that wants some software. They just wanted to call you and see if you want to do a job for them. And I didn't ask for it. You know, people that are in the construction business, many times it's just word of mouth. It's like they just know, like, hey, they do a really good job, they're efficient, then people talk, and they're like, hey, I know a guy, you want to get this guy to do your electrical. Hey, you want to get this guy to do, you know, what your whatever work for you that is necessary, because he's just so good at it. His carpentry skills are excellent. He does a really good job. He's quick. He's fast. You know, whatever it is, you know, word of mouth is important. When it comes to restaurants, hey, this restaurant, the food's super good. Hey, the service here is super good. That's how life works. And it's hard to build a reputation like that. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. But someone that's diligently seeking good procureth favor. Imagine you go to a restaurant, and all the staff is just really attentive and really nice and really kind, and they're making sure that you like all the stuff, and their smiles, and they're filling your cup and whatever. You're more likely to show back up. And it's like, oh, how come your restaurant's successful and mine's not? Well, maybe because we were diligently seeking good, and we're going to procure favor out of that, as opposed to you guys just being lazy and not actually doing anything. You know, you should be diligently seeking good, and hey, good will happen to you. The better you are, the luckier you're going to get, okay? And I think that that's based on this principle in a lot of ways. Look at verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Boy, this couldn't be truer than today. You know, you can just spend all day on your phone just watching videos from Logan Paul and Jake Paul and Mr. Beast and PewDiePie and Donald Trump and Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones has a show like all day, every day. I mean, you could just listen to just political speech all day. I just listen. I never miss Steven Crowder's show. I never miss Ben Shapiro's show. I never miss, you know, talk radio. I'm just listening to just all these people. And I just follow Nick Fuentes' just every statement and every video. And I just love Nick Fuentes. You know, what is the Bible saying here? The Bible says, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. You're just going to become stupid like these people. Right. Like Andrew Tate, one of the worst people on the planet. Right. Following Andrew Tate will destroy your life. You know, you want to be successful, you should spend your time doing something. Tilling your land. Working. Now look, some people are capable of listening to trash while they work. If you can get it both done, go for it. But you know what? Don't sit here and waste all your time just following stupid things on the internet when you could be just, hey, procuring good, seeking the Lord, working hard. Look, tilling land is hard. It's hard work. It's difficult. But notice what the Bible said. You shall be satisfied. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Think about this. He's saying satisfied. He didn't say, like, you will survive. He didn't say that it'll be okay. It says that you'll be satisfied with bread, meaning that you're gonna be happy, you're gonna be good. And look, when it comes to the rich people, their food is garbage anyways, okay? This one video, I'm still triggered by it, okay? There's like this burger that someone's making, and then they like put this gold on the burger bread. Like, they basically had this thin layer, so it was like a gold burger that they were eating. It was like $24,000. I was just like, what in the world? I was like, I wouldn't even want to eat it. I'd be like, ew, gross. Can I just have like a good brioche bread or, you know, bun? Or can I just have like a normal bun? It's like, yeah, but I mean, it maxes out at like $20 or something. Like the fanciest burger we can make is only 20 or 30. Fine. I don't need to eat a $24,000 burger. I don't need to pour out liquor to prove how special I am or something like that. Now, look, if someone gave me liquor, yeah, I'll pour it out. Okay, I don't want to drink it. It's better than drinking it. But you know what? I don't want to sit here and waste my money on frivolous, stupid, nonsensical things. Amen. And at the end of the day, you know, being rich isn't all that it's cracked up to be. And you live in America where if you work hard, you can pretty much eat the best food anyways. You can pretty much just eat good breads and good meats and have pretty much a pretty great meal almost every day of the week. You don't even have to. You could. I'm just saying in theory, you can. You can still eat poor because who cares? Does eating really matter? Nah. But if you want to work really hard, hey, you're going to enjoy the bread that you get to eat. That's what the Bible's saying. Not only are you going to enjoy it, you're going to be satisfied with it. You're going to be happy with it. It says in verse 24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Man, it'd be nice if I could own my own business one day. Yeah, but are you diligent? Look, owning a business is not for the faint of heart. It's extremely difficult. Most business owners fail. Most will fail. And it is sometimes even they worked really hard. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of energy. And a lot of people say, that must be nice. Yeah, well, they work hard. There's no one that is running a successful business that doesn't work hard. It just doesn't exist. Maybe you could say, like, so-and-so inherited a business from his daddy, and he's not working hard. But pretty soon, he's going to drive it into the ground. Pretty soon, he's going to destroy it. Because in order to run a business or to be in charge, you got to be someone that works hard, is diligent. I work for someone that does software. He works way harder than anybody else at our company. It's not even a question. He works super hard, tons of hours, and that's the reason why his company is so successful. That's why I get to even work there, is because he's just making so much money because he's working really hard. And then I get to benefit from that. It would be really easy for me to just be like, oh man, must be nice. Yeah, but am I willing to work that many hours and put in that much effort and that much energy and that much stress and that much? No, because I got other things I got to deal with. I don't want to have that job. I don't want to have that kind of pressure. I don't want to go down that road. But, you know, you can't just sit here and have your cake and eat it too. You want more? Are you going to work for it? If you're not going to work for it, you're not going to get it. Verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. A lot of people are poor because they're also bad managers of what they even have. Look, there are some people that are actually making tons of money, and they are living paycheck to paycheck. The worst example of this by far is when I worked at Wells Fargo Bank as a personal banker. I was looking for the worst overdraft offenders. And what was funny is the people that were the worst overdraft offenders that I'd ever seen on the report were the richest people I've ever seen on the report. It was two doctors married to each other. They were both, man was a doctor and the woman was a doctor. And I kid you not, like, doctors apparently make stupid money, okay? Because this was way before COVID and all that kind of stuff. So the amount of money they were bringing in was, like, legit ridiculous. I mean, they're basically bringing in $20,000, $30,000 a month each. I mean, they're basically bringing in, you know, $40,000, $50,000 a month each. And they were going overdraft every single month, which was just crazy, okay? Because they basically were just out of sync. It was just like a timing issue is all it was. They would just spend like $40,000 and it would dip down into like $10,000 in the red. Then their paycheck would come and just clean it all up. And then they would just go back into the red. And it was just this weird timing issue. I was like, man, we need to call these people and be like, hey, stop just being stupid, you know? Like, you're literally throwing away tens of thousands of dollars every single month just because you don't, like, manage your finances or even pay attention. Because they made so much money, they didn't have to pay attention. But because of the timing, they were off. I mean, they literally threw away tens of thousands of dollars on overdraft fees. And I told my managers, like, hey, I'm calling this customer, whatever. And they said, if you call this customer, we're firing you. I was just like, what in the world? Because they were just thinking about how much money they were making. And then they said, hey, it's not your fault that they're stupid and lazy and being bad money managers. And I'm like, at this point, I was like, I don't want to work here. I don't want to work for a place that is going to literally rob customers because we won't just tell them you're being stupid with your money. Yeah. But that is how the world works today. And look, some people, they're just lazy and they're not even taking. I mean, you literally killed the animal and you're not even going to eat it. And look, there are many people that are making tons of money and then they're throwing it away by being bad money managers, by just not paying attention, by just being lazy, being slothful. And of course, that's going to hurt and harm them. It's going to do something negative unto them. So we want to make sure that we're diligent. Look at chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. I mean, I'm not showing you one verse. I hope that you understand that I'm showing you. I mean, the Bible is hammering. You want more? Be righteous. You want more? Be diligent. You need to work hard. And look, I guarantee you are super righteous and you're working super hard. God will give you more and he won't even add the sorrow with it. But here's a third thing that we need to consider. Look at chapter 11, verse 25. Here's a third thing that we need to consider. I'm just going to read one other verse that I'd thought of that wasn't in the Proverbs. But in Luke chapter 15, the Bible does say, I'm going to go back to that. Sorry, never mind. I'm going to go back to this. Look at verse 25. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So point one is if you want more, you need to be righteous. Point two is that you need to be diligent, but point three is you need to be generous. Being generous, which, again, it's kind of this contrary thing. What we think in our flesh, it's usually the opposite that God actually wants. It's like we think pursue money, and God's saying, no, pursue righteousness. We want to be rich so we can be lazy, but God's saying, no, you got to be diligent, you got to be hardworking. And many times we think we have to be stingy and selfish, but the Bible's saying, no, be generous. Be giving, and this is how you get more. Why do many people not have more? It's because they're wicked, lazy, and they're selfish. And by being wicked, lazy, and selfish, you're basically destined to be poor and have sorrow. You're just going to destroy yourself, okay? God wants us to be righteous, hardworking, and generous. And he's saying here, hey, we need to be liberal. Now, again, that sounds crazy in our world today, all right? The liberals of today are usually what we consider the most wicked people of society. But typically, again, what evil people do is they take good terminology and they turn it bad. Yeah. They'll say like, hey, love wins. Okay, but is there anything wrong with love? No, love's good. The problem is that when they say love, they mean lust, okay? And lust doesn't win, love really does win. They'll say good things like, hey, we should help the poor. There's nothing wrong. The liberals typically want more government programs to help the poor. But he's saying there's nothing wrong with wanting to help the poor. The problem is it's getting the government involved. And the second problem is that even if they did get the government involved, they're not going to actually help the poor. They're Judas, and they have the bag, and they're going to take that which was put in the bag to help the, quote, poor. But being liberal is actually a good thing biblically. Being liberal just means that you're willing to give of your abundance. You're liberally going to give of your own money. You're liberally helping people. This is a positive thing, even though in our society, we typically think of liberals as being bad. Why? Because liberals of our society, they don't want to give their own money away. They want to give your money away. They're good at being liberal with other people's money, whereas being if you were truly a liberal in the sense that you were giving of your own money, who would hate that person? Who would despise that person? There's nothing wrong with that person. The problem is that conservatives don't want their money to be taken from them and then given to, quote, liberal causes like transgender surgeries, like abortion, like the war machine going on in the Middle East. We don't want more of our tax dollars taken from us and an obligation, like a gun to the head type scenario, to just fund all of these evil things. If we want to help people, we want to be able to do it of our own free will. We want to be liberal of our own free will, okay? So you have to understand these particular words. In the Bible, saying the liberal soul shall be made fat. And again, fat meaning having riches, having more, okay? It says, if you water, then you're going to also water yourself. So basically just blessing other people, doing good unto other people. Look at the next verse. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. In some cases, it's not even necessary to just give literally. But sometimes it's just good to just basically be willing to help other people, right? This guy, it'd be bad to hoard possessions that you could potentially sell and bless other people. You're being selfish with these goods, okay? So there's nothing wrong with selling goods even. But this guy is basically withholding. He's not even willing to sell things or help other people. What would be an example of this? I think kind of an example of this would be somebody that could, they have a business, and through that business, they could hire people and give more people jobs and just grow their business, but instead they're being kind of selfish with their opportunities, and they don't want to deal with other people. You know, I've known somebody that was saying like, hey, I was kind of contemplating, do I just fire everybody and just run the business myself? Or do I actually like keep people employed? And again, the person that basically is unwilling to ever have any employees or hire anybody, what does the Bible say? He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. You know, with AI, it's getting into a weird situation where a lot of companies could just literally fire a whole bunch of people and just try to be selfish and help themselves. But you know what? People curse that company and not like it, and they'll probably hurt themselves in the long run. You know, the guy that's actually generous and liberal and helping other people and employing other people and giving other people jobs, you know, when we think about Old Testament laws, they were not supposed to glean the corners of their field. They're supposed to leave them. But it didn't say glean them and hand them out. It said leave them so that the poor could come and basically glean and basically work a little bit to basically provide for themselves. And that's the person people are going to bless, is the one that's, hey, sometimes you're giving people a job. Sometimes you're giving people employment or opportunities to buy and sell and to have goods so that they can be blessed as well. And you're not being selfish with your empowerment. If you've been empowered, if you have the ability to help others. Now, again, if you're a business owner, You're not in the business to basically help other people. You know, you got to help yourself first. It's kind of like the airplane analogy. You got to put the mask on first before you can help others. But at the end of the day, someone that's just hoarding wealth and not willing to basically bless other people, that's a negative thing. That's a bad thing. And so we should consider, you know, being generous with what we have. If you have the ability to basically do more and help other people, you should consider being more generous. I can't remember. I think it's Andrew Carnegie. Is pretty famous for, like, he's super wealthy guy from times past. But, you know, he wanted to take a lot of his funds to create companies and basically create jobs so lots of people could be employed and lots of people could have money and wealth. In times past, in the 20s and 30s, there was large unemployment. There was all kinds of different, you know, economic issues. And if it wasn't for super rich, super wealthy people creating big businesses and big manufacturing and investing in all these things, a lot of people wouldn't have jobs, wouldn't have ability to feed themselves. And it's a negative thing. We need rich people that have tons of money and whatever to be willing to, hey, invest in the community, invest in the economy, give people lots of jobs. You know, there's a lot of hate for the man. There's a lot of hate for the rich guys that have all these jobs and companies. But you know what? In some ways, they're a blessing. You know, I know that you hate Amazon or whatever, but it's like Amazon employs a lot of people. You know, a lot of these companies are employing a lot of people and giving somebody something to do. And praise God, it's not communist China where they're forcing you to do all this stuff. It's a free market. It's capitalism. But you know, it's a good thing to be generous. And to not sit here. I mean, look, if you're a multi-billionaire, do you have to create companies? Do you have to? I mean, like, think about what Elon's doing. Elon is investing a lot of his money and effort and energy for people to have employment, jobs, to boost our economy. He literally bought Twitter just to protect free speech as a general principle. You know, a lot of those things are good. You know, let's criticize him for the things that are bad, but let's give him props where he's also employing a lot of people and helping a lot of people. You know, someone that's a multi-billionaire, they could literally just, I'm going to close up shop. I'm just going to do my own thing. Let's just shut it all down. Who cares about all this kind of stuff? You know, that's not someone people like. Mr. Scrooge, just sitting and swimming in gold coins and his little palace or whatever somewhere. You know, that's not the somebody that everybody likes. People like the guy that's taking his money and he's doing something positive with it, employing people, investing it in companies and businesses. That's a positive thing. Look at verse 7 of chapter 13. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. So, again, notice how the Bible uses these things of like a juxtaposition, where you kind of like think one thing, but it's kind of the opposite, right? There's someone that's making himself rich, yet hath nothing, right? The guy that hoards all of his wealth and all of his money, but then he has no wife, no friends, no salvation, nothing to accomplish for God. It's like, oh yeah, you got all this money, but who cares about that? You made yourself rich by burning everybody and ripping everybody off and just being a workaholic to extreme. And boy, it didn't really benefit you. Whereas some people, they've made themselves poor. They took all their wealth and they just gave it away and were generous with it. And then notice they have great riches. A lot of people love them. They have good friendships, or perhaps they're rich towards God. So we've got to think about, hey, if you want more, God is often going to bless those that are generous. Go to Luke chapter 6. Go to Luke chapter number 6, and let's see another verse there that talks about this. If you're God, though, this principle makes sense. If you're God and you're looking down from heaven and you have all these people on the planet and you see someone being super generous, don't you think God's like, hey, I kind of want to help that person? Whereas you look at other people that are just being really stingy, you're like, I don't really want to bless this guy with anymore. He's not even doing anything with it. He's not really benefiting anybody. So just, it does kind of make sense if you think about it from God's perspective. Just from a carnal perspective, it makes no sense, though. Because they're thinking like, how am I going to have more money by giving it away? Well, look, if God didn't exist and you're an atheist, you're right. It would never make sense. It would absolutely be the dumbest thing to do. If you wanted money, the worst thing you could do is just give it away. But here's the thing. If you actually believe in God and recognize that all of our wealth and all of our money and all the good things that are coming from God, then you would want to give stuff away because you realize it's a pipeline and God's going to keep furnishing your pipeline. Yeah. And when you're a generous person, he just wants to keep pouring resources into you so you can keep blessing other people. When you're stingy and selfish and wicked, God wants to turn off your pipeline because guess what? You're not helping other people. You know, you're stealing and robbing from missionaries. God's going to turn your pipeline off. Hey, you're blessing people and you're really liberal and you're really generous. People, God's going to be like, hey, let's turn this pipeline on. You know what I mean? That's just how it works. Luke chapter number 6, look at verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure
that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. I mean, do you not believe in God or what? If you want more, how do you get more? You give more away. And if you give more, then God says, all right, I'm going to somehow give to you. And it's just kind of this principle. And of course, the non-denominational church, the mega church, will teach these principles. You know, I grew up in non-denom churches my whole life. And boy, I heard about tithing and I heard about giving every service virtually. Okay? But that doesn't mean it's not true. Hey, you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about the non-denom church. You know what they're like? They're like if a guy went to the gym and the only thing he ever did was just work out his right arm. Like he just went to the gym and just all day, just you're pumping iron with his right arm, and he's just doing every single exercise. I mean, just every day. And so he's just going to the gym, he's just got this arm like this. But then the rest of his body is completely like atrophied and just all weak and wound, you know, wimpy, and he's just like walking around with his giant arm. We don't want to get so weirded out by the non-denom church, though, that we say, let's never work out our right arm because I don't want to be the non-denom church. No, no, no. There's nothing wrong with working out the right arm, but we want to also work out the left arm, and we also want to do leg day, and we also want to run some. You know, we want the whole body to be healthy. We don't want to just work out one piece of our body. And look, that's the problem with these non-denominational churches and these Bible churches is it's just a right arm workout only. In many cases, what they say is true. What they're saying is even right. And what they're saying is even biblical. But here's the problem. They're not working that left arm out at all. And they're not working out their legs at all. And so they look weird. They look weird. And once you've heard one message, you've heard all the messages because it's just the same thing over and over and over and over again. That's why you want to go to church that's got a full body program, a full workout program, so that you don't look like a freak who just has one giant arm walking around, okay? I am so strong on my right arm, you know? It's weird. It's awkward. It's not going to be balanced. It's just going to be confusing. And again, is there anything wrong with having a strong right arm? No. And look, I'll be honest. A lot of non-denominational Christians, especially in the Dallas Ward area that you meet, they tithe like champions, and they're some of the most generous people that you'll ever meet. They really are. They're really nice, and they're very generous, and they're tithing. But boy, they're screwed up on Israel. They're giving all their money to Israel. But boy, they're screwed up on, you know, which Bible to use. And they're screwed up, and they're not really going soul winning. And they've got a lot of problems, okay? But you have to give it to them. A lot of them have that area, right? And you know what? In some cases, they're still even blessing some good people and still helping some. And it seems like these principles work. I know a lot of non-denominational, you know, just fun center type Christian people, and they have more. And they are seeming to do well. But you know what? They're trying to serve God. They're trying to follow his commandments. And they're super hardworking. And they're really generous. And look, these principles work whether you like them or not, or whether you even believe them or not. I mean, even if you didn't believe them, it still works. I mean, if you're following God's commandments, and if you're hardworking and you're generous, this program works. The Proverbs work, no faith required. Now, here's the thing. Most people need faith to even do them, okay? But at the end of the day, these principles work. You say, like, oh, why are Asians living to be so much older than other communities? Well, let me tell you something. They follow a lot of God's commandments better than other communities. Talk about honor thy father and thy mother. You know that principle just works. If you just honor your father and mother, you're going to live longer. And then it's like, oh, I see these one communities, they don't honor their father and mother, and they're dying young, and they're having more problems. And here's another community. And both communities are unsaved. It's like, what's the difference? Look, the Proverbs work whether you're saved or not. Now, obviously, when you're saved, it's like a super booster, okay? It's super powered. And, of course, it takes a lot of people faith to actually employ them in your life. But I'm telling you, the Proverbs work, period. And what is God promising? He is promising here, hey, you give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give in your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Hey, you give and God will give back to you. Go to Acts chapter number 20. There's tons of people that have just been generous or done good in the past, whether they were saved or not, and God just blessed them anyways. Because it's just how God works. It's God's economy. God's economy is you're a generous person, God will be generous to you. You're a stingy person, you're a Jew, and people treat you like a Jew. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And again, the Apostle Paul always seems to have to caveat because he wants to make it clear, like, I'm not asking you to give money to the ministry for me. I'm asking you to give money to the ministry to support the weak and to help those and to further the causes of Christ. And look, the more you give, the more blessed you're going to be. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow to it. Now I want you to go to Luke 15. I'm just going to go to two more places, but I wanted to pivot the context here because I think some people might walk away thinking in this sermon that this is geared towards men only or something. Obviously, I think a lot of men, you know, this sermon is pretty applicable in the sense that you're the provider, right? You kind of have this pressure and this God-given responsibility and duty to be a provider in the home, and a lot of these things are directly related. But look, as a woman, you can also have more by applying these same principles. Okay, you need to apply the exact same principles here. You need to also seek righteousness. Women that are wicked are going to cost their family all kinds of money. Women that are not trying to do right are going to cost their family all kinds of bills that they did not have to garner through being foolish, through being silly, through being sinful, from doing dumb things. There's all kinds of dumb things that women will do, and they'll hurt their household. They'll hurt their finances. They'll cost them all kinds of money. Bills, just things breaking, being destroyed, just signing up for things, just the endless shopping habits and activities that people have. I mean, there's just so much ways for money to be wasted through a wicked woman, let alone divorce, let alone, you know, all kinds of other extreme scenarios. There's many even little things that cost all kinds of money. And, you know, you want more, you know, be righteous, you know, serve God. Put church first. You know, these things aren't that expensive, going soul winning. How much money are you wasting soul winning? You're not really having to waste a lot of money going soul winning and reading your Bible and going to church. Okay. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? You know, some women, they're afraid of losing money and they would work really hard to find it. They're not willing to just let money be wasted and just lost. They're going to seek it. Go to Proverbs 31. We're going to finish in that chapter. Go to Proverbs chapter 31. You know, a good woman is going to not waste her husband's money. She's going to be righteous and she's going to be diligent. Hey, I did lose some money. Then I'm going to diligently look until I find it. You know, I'm not going to be lazy and just allow money to be wasted on things that shouldn't be wasted on. And of course, all of these principles are going to apply here. Proverbs 31, look at verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? Notice the Bible saying, hey, you know what's the most important thing in a woman? Being righteous, being virtuous, being godly. So point one, women, you should seek to be righteous and godly and virtuous, and God will give you more of everything that you want. More of all the stuff that you want and that you need. You know, you can constantly put this pressure on your husband to get more, but why don't you yourself work on just being righteous? That'll help your family. Number two, you being diligent. Look what the Bible says. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You know, women that are willing to work will save their family lots of money. If you really think about it, most money spent is you being lazy. Most money being spent, services and all kinds of things exist in this world to just you not have to do the work. You don't have to do the work anymore. Someone else can do the work. But you know what? There's always a price increase. And look, every single thing that a woman can do, there is a service, there is a maid, there is someone that is willing to do it for a price. Cleaning the house, you can just pay someone to clean your house. You can just pay someone to clean your clothes. You can just pay someone to make all your meals. You can just pay someone to watch your kids. You can pay someone to school your kids. You can pay someone to do literally anything and everything. And what is going to cause you the price? You not willing to do the work. Now look, we live a busy world and a busy life, and people prioritize which activities they want to do and which ones they're willing to pay for. But at the end of the day, if you just outsource everything, well, that's going to cost your family a lot more money than if you're willing to work really hard. Yeah. Women that are willing to work really hard, they're going to save their family a lot of money. Women that are not willing to work at all, they're going to cost their family tons and tons of money. And this could be in lots of areas. One area in particular that's probably one of the worst is food specifically. Look, going out to eat is one of the most expensive things you could possibly do, and it costs a lot of money. And I kid you not, there are many people, even in our circles, that I've known, the woman doesn't even cook. Like, I remember we were, like, having fellowships, and they were like, none of us cook. We're just going to all bring some store-bought thing or whatever. And it's just like, what? Like, I understand, like, look, it's a treat, and it's nice to go out to eat every once in a while. I'm not against you. I'm not saying don't ever go out to eat. But I'm saying this. If you're not willing to cook at all, if every meal is just bought, you're throwing away so much money in just the food preparation costs. I mean, even just McDonald's and what are these? These places are so expensive now.
Yeah.
And you know why I know this? Because when you start having 6, 7 kids, boy, the multiplier is exponential, okay? Yeah. And you just like, even the kids' meals. Oh, it's only $7. Yeah, times 7, that's $50 just for the kids, right? Then plus a mom and dad, plus tax, plus possible tent, plus all this stuff. I mean, boy, to get away from a restaurant for less than $70 these days is a miracle sometimes, okay? And it's kind of crazy. It kind of sometimes forces you to want to work a little bit harder or fix, you know, figure out ways to be more economical. You know, going out to eat is expensive. You know, hiring someone to clean your house is expensive. And in many cases, cleaning is pretty much free. I mean, you can get a rag and some water and whatever and just get underneath. I mean, it's just like, that's not that much money. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of things that are just being thrown away by a woman that's just not willing to work. And the more that you're willing to work, the more you're going to save your money. Now, there's an opportunity cost of a decision. Sometimes you have to evaluate, like, hey, if I work over here, I'm going to save our family the most amount of money. And if, you know, if we outsource these things, like, it's not really saving me that much money. And so, you know, it's just kind of like a hybrid approach, or you got to figure out what's the most economical. Obviously, her even, notice where it says in, I'm skipping ahead, in verse number, what am I trying? I think, let's just keep reading and I'll find it here. Verse 16, she is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Dang it, I'm trying to think of which verse I want here. Well, she's sending out people to basically, she's like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She's having food come from all these distant places, and she has maidens. So obviously, in some sense, she's hiring, I guess I'm just reading into this, but she's hiring people or procuring people or putting people out to do different tasks. This could be like today. Obviously, we use services, we use different people. You've got your maidens at your disposal. But you want to be, you know, thinking about, like, what's the most cost proficient? What's going to be the most beneficial? Sometimes, you know, you have things just delivered to you because it's cheaper. Why do most people have Amazon? Because let's just be honest, it's kind of cheaper. And if I just drive to the store and buy it, it could be more expensive than just having it literally delivered to me. And so you got to kind of think about that, plan these type of things. But she's also giving a portion to her maidens. She's generous. So number one, she's righteous. Number two, she's diligent. Number three, she's extremely generous. Verse 20, she stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. This woman is selling things. She's making money for her family. She's being diligent. She's being generous. You think, like, I want more. Well, here's a question. Are you being generous in helping other people? You know, I think that a lot of people, they're just selfish in general, and then they're wanting more. But you know what? God doesn't want to give you more when you're being selfish. God wants to give more to those that are righteous, doing things that are good, that are working really hard, and they're being really generous. And you know, the lady, I believe ladies, you know, if you really want to help your household, instead of being so concerned with like putting pressure, just make more money or something, or I wish you were rich like Elon or something, you know, why don't you just work on being more righteous, working harder, thinking about cost savings that you could employ and your family, ways to help, and being generous. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idols. You know, in some ways, your job is just to make it easier for your husband to just focus on his job. And look, there's no new thing under the sun. One of the biggest problems in the workplace for a lot of men is this: their wife just making their life miserable. Like, this is a common thing where there's some men that just their wife is just harassing them at work, calling them all day, just needing them all the time, being extremely needy. How's the guy going to focus on making money when he's just focused on you all day at work and your needs and what you got going on? I remember one of my bosses said, he was saying when he worked, this is a long time ago, okay? He was like, he said, if you got a call at work from your wife that was a non-emergency call, they would fire you immediately. He's saying because it just wastes so much company time. He's just like, the bosses did not put up with it for a second. They just said, hey, if your wife is calling you and it's non-emergency, then you would just be fired. So it's like, hey, your wife's calling you and you know, the kid didn't actually chop off his hand. You know, he coughed a couple times and WebMD says he has pneumonia. It's just like, does he though? It's like, if he doesn't have pneumonia, you're fired. You know, it's like, hey, it wasn't like she calls and she's like, hey, can I talk to my husband? What's it about? I just want to hear him talk. I just want to see what's going on. Hey, what's up? Hey. It's like fired, quit. It's, I mean, how much, you know, oh, I want my husband to come home early or sooner, but you don't pack him a lunch, so then he has to take a break from work, travel somewhere, buy lunch, and then come back. Whereas if you packed him lunch, he could take a 20-minute lunch break, eat real quick, get back to work, and then come home sooner. I've known a lot of guys, they just work through lunch because they just have a packed lunch. They don't have to get up. They don't have to think about it. They just got lunch ready to go. Their wife's making their life easier, not harder. And then guess what? Okay, now he's able to focus on his job, focused on making money, focused on whatever, coming back. You know, he's not coming home to a disaster when he comes home. He's not walking in and it's just a complete train wreck. It's that pizza meme where he's come home with pizza and the whole house is on fire or whatever. And he's just like, what do I do? You know, he's not coming home and having to deal with all kinds of other stuff. Hey, if he needs to put a few extra hours in, if he's got to do a side hustle, if he's got to do whatever to make some money, he's able to do that. He's not going to be nagged to death. He's not going to be attacked. You know, he's not going to come home and it's like, hey, here's another bill. Here's another thing I broke. Hey, here's more stuff that I bought that we don't need. I was watching this thing online that said, you know, if we buy this miracle thing, it's going to make our whole lives better. I don't want to use specific examples. People get mad. Just say, like, hey, I found this other gimmick from China that we should buy. It's just like, no. It's like, hey, you can participate. Don't just sit here and just demand all this stuff of your husband when you're not willing to be righteous, when you're not willing to work hard, when you're not being generous yourself. Well, then why would God want to give you more? And hey, this could apply. We've talked about money, but it could apply to anything. Friends. How about rewards in heaven? You want rewards in heaven? Be righteous. Work really hard. And be generous. Be generous with your time. Go out soul winning and preaching the gospel, and you'll have great rewards in heaven. You know, there's not going to be someone in heaven that's super rich because they were lazy. Zero. If you want riches in heaven, you have to work for it. And you have to be righteous. And you have to be a generous person with your time, effort. You have to give of your life. Right. Just like Christ was willing to give towards us. Everybody wants more, but here's the question. Are you going to do it the way God said it? Are you going to seek it through righteousness, through working hard? Or are you going to do it through being generous? And you know what? In order to do those, it takes faith. But I'm telling you want more? You can have it with no sorrow. You got to do it God's way. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for these instructions. Thank you for these principles. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to serve you and that you'll take care of us. I pray that we would have a desire to seek first the kingdom of God, to put church as a priority, soul winning as a priority, to following your commandments as a priority. I pray that you would help us to work really hard. Whatever we have to do, whatever jobs you've given us, we'd be willing to work hard, that we wouldn't just waste all of our time, effort, and energy. And I pray that not only would we work hard, but we'd be very generous with what you give us. When you do bless us, when you give us things, that we would think of others, we would think of the poor, we would think of the needy, we'd think of the less fortunate, we'd think of those that are struggling or starting out or maybe on the back end, and we would be willing to help them. We'd bless them, we'd do good unto them. And I pray that you would just continue to bless us and give us more as we seek you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, for our last song, please turn in your hymnals to song number 277. Song number 277. Song 277, Only Trust Him. Let's sing it out together on the first. Everybody, you are all dismissed.